thinking this morning some about the influence that we can have in our lives because of a Christ life. Probably everyone here that's saved, if they could, they probably would exert their influence on someone else to be saved. If you had the ability just to be able to cause them to think the way they ought to think, well, you'd probably want to do that. And probably we all have attempted some of those kind of things and not been successful with them. But I believe that the Lord today does have a life that is influential, that can make a difference to the people that's around us. I believe that God has charged us with an ambassage. We're ambassadors of Christ. I am convinced today that God could prove to the world that He's God in a moment. But God has left it up to His people to be faithful, to be the ones that take His Word, His Spirit, His life, and use the influence of it in the world around us, to those that we come in contact with, to our family, our friends, our neighbors, those that are around us. I know some folks that's getting up in years, and my heart's desire for them is that they meet God in peace. I don't know where they stand altogether before the Lord, but my heart to them is I want the Lord to help me to be able to, I suppose, to be honest with you, sometimes you want to shake them or twist their arm a little bit, but to have the influence, to be able to get to them through influence, something that'll make a difference in their life, possibly their eternal life. And I believe that the life of Christ in us is that. I believe that. I believe that the Lord living in us is an influence to the people that surround us. So we want to know how to do that. So I'd like to start off this morning with Scripture in Proverbs, 21st chapter of Proverbs, in the 22nd verse. It says, "A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof." Solomon writing this, looking, understanding the nature of things, said that a wise man, when he comes up to a powerful, mighty city, a wise man would look at that. The Scripture says, "He that's wise, he that winneth souls is wise." The wise looks at the city and says, it's powerful, it's mighty. Their confidence because of it is strong. They have a security that they cannot be overthrown. There is a pride and exaltation that what I have on hand cannot be overthrown, destroyed, disrupted. It is so strong in me. I have such a hold of it that nothing can overcharge it, overtake it. It can't be beaten down, beaten up. There's no confidence belongs to that place. But it says that the wise don't look at that and then assume that I can go in there and roll that thing over. But wisdom says that they scale up the city. There, in other words, there's another approach, folks, that's much more powerful. Bible tells us in different places, especially in the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and teaches us that there is something that's mightier than just strength. That when you compare things, wisdom is better than strength. You can overcome the mighty by wisdom. So that here's a situation and it's obvious that you can't roll it over, you can't strong arm it, but you can influence it. You can begin to influence it, and when you do, you'll begin to tear down the confidence of the thing. Back during World War II, after World War I, the French, always afraid that they would be attacked again by Germany, built a line of defenses all along, hundreds of miles along their border, called the Maginot Line, and they built strong fortifications against any kind of a German attack. But when they got to the line of Belgium, which was their northeastern neighbor, I believe my geography's right here, they got to that point and they said, well, now what do we do now? They couldn't build defenses along the Belgium line of Germany, and they got to there, and because Belgium was an ally of France, they didn't want to build a line of defenses between Belgium and France, because that would be a bad sign for the Belgium, just like saying we're going to throw you to the Germans if they attack. And so they stopped their fortifications right there, and it was very powerful. It was something to reckon with. The French people had such a confidence because of that line that was said there was no way to overrun that thing. There was just no way to do it. It was so powerful. They had underground railroad that took troops back and forth. They lived underground. And it was quite an operation that they had defensive mechanism there that gave the French a real sense of security against German attack. When the Germans looked at that, they said, boy, that's a strong city. That's tough. It'd be foolish to run headlong into something like that. So, of course, they didn't run headlong into it. They began to sneak around, and they got through the Ardennes forest, through Belgium, and attacked France, and overtook France in a few weeks, and never, ever was a shot fired, I don't believe, from that great defensive fortification that they trusted so much in. And it proves, in this sense, that the wise is better than the strong. To be able to attack something from a whole different idea, and I don't want us to get confused about what's manipulative and what's deceiving and all those things, but the Lord has given us a power of influence. If we're not careful, we look at situations a lot of times, and honestly we do, we'll allow carnality. We'll allow the flesh to get involved into this thing and try to manipulate and work in somebody's life in a way that tries to overthrow this confidence that they have. And folks, it never works. It never brings anything of any good. If you had the physical strength to tie somebody down, you would never win the heart that way. You might be able to tie them down, bind them up. I imagine if we wanted to, we could go out here right now in force, just down to the few people, and go just right in and knock on their door, and when they come there, throw them out into the yard, bind them up, throw them over our shoulders. Well, I couldn't pack them far, but some of these brothers could. When we'll pack them up, bring them in here and put them, line them up, bound and gagged right here on the front seat, and said, now you folks listen. When you said you may be able to do that, but you couldn't overthrow anything in them. You couldn't. Only thing you do is make them mad at you. Only thing you do is make them say how bad it was over there. You know, if we're not careful by the way we try to do things sometimes, we cause more damage than what we cause good. But this scripture is teaching us that the wise scaleth the city. The idea is that they go in a subtle way, they go in a way of influence, and they go in and they begin to challenge the right, the reason, the confidence that they have in this thing, and it begins to tear them down from a whole different perspective. The Lord gives us influence through His Spirit to be able to introduce things into people's lives through seed. Through seed. Small things that's going to sprout and grow. And you know, Lord help us, We need to be patient in our influence. It's like gardening. You prepare ground. You can't just expect that I'm going to go out and say, here's a garden, voila, start picking fruit, vegetables. It don't work that way. You go in and say, many times I've done it from the beginning stages. Go in and say, this is going to be a garden. I'm going to raise stuff here and have to start cutting off trees and brush and do it down. Then you got to dig up roots and pick out rocks and you got to till the soil. It's preparation. It's preparation for it. We haven't even planted seeds yet, folks. It's preparation. You know, the Lord gives us the influence of preparation to come into a place. You can't live shoddy and indifferent about the Lord. That's the preparing place. People look and say, who is this? What is this? You think nobody notices you? Yes, they do. They absolutely notice you. And then you can begin to work and start planting seeds to that influence. Start planting things in people's lives. It's amazing how people respond. Sometimes it's just spontaneous. Went to the post office the other day. I wasn't trying to be boss. It just come out. The postmaster, the lady said, well, Marty, how are you doing today? And it just come out. I said, great, thanks the Lord. Well, all of a sudden I realized, what? Well, that's what I'd answered you all with, and so it's what I answered her with. I'm, well, great, thanks the Lord. You know what she said when I left? She said, you have a blessed day. That's Bible talk. Bible language, getting involved into it a little bit was done there. Some influence was being. I don't know what the seeds will become of it. I know one day I went down there and she said, my mother's sick and dying. Would you pray for her? Had tears in her eyes. There was something starting to happen. The influence. Well, I suppose she's never come to our service. I suppose we could arrest down there sometime and strong-armed her. Try to get her to listen to something. But there's something. Oh, there's something that works. It's influence of Christ in our lives. You know, I believe people can see genuine care against just false words. I believe people really know when you mean that I love you and I'll help you and I'm here. And I believe there's something that the Lord uses in this. And we can now assume that, I think it's an analogy here anyway, that I think people without the Lord are all in some way or another mighty cities in themselves. Fortresses that's been built up by society, possibly even deeper things of abusive situations, of hard times that people callous themselves against the emotional barrages. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just have to harden yourself against these kind of things. Brother Jim White told us up home, a young man, early 20s, went off to war. He went off, he wasn't a hard man, but he went off to war innocent and out of the mountains out there, and they took him and trained him, and he became a tough man, and he went off to war. War was hard. It was tough. How do you survive seeing your buddies beside you literally being blown to pieces? What, are you going to sit down and weep in the middle of the battlefield? You're taught to be a soldier, he said. You're taught to harden. Brother Jim, how did you do things like that? And he said, you hardened yourself against the reality of it, the emotion of it. You just plain hardened yourself to it to survive. And so he was able to see some of the most brutal things, attacks and people dying and death and all this around him. But one day a soldier come home. Do you know what his biggest trouble was? He had hardened himself against life, against the reality of life. He told me, he said, I come home and there was my wife, and he said, I went. He said, Brother Marty, I went through the normal routine that you would. you go and hug your wife, and there's your little child that you haven't seen for years, and there they are. And he said, I looked at them and had no human emotion whatsoever. You imagine what problems then is caused? I think people without God are strong, mighty cities, fortresses. Fortresses of confidence. How you can't penetrate me. Try to hurt me emotionally if you can. I've been through too much emotional scarring. I've hardened myself against it. You can't touch me. You can't touch me in that. Do you know it's impossible to strong arm those people? It's impossible to force them through any ideals or anything like that to try to make them different? How are you going to touch their lives? Jesus did it, didn't he? Jesus' influence of his Spirit proved it over and over. When he was here, he walked the shores of time, and they was the outcasts, the thieves, the tax collectors, Zacchaeuses. You don't think Zacchaeus had some walls and cities? And here was a man that went forth, and I believe they saw how genuine he was. Something influenced by his character, his compassion, his love, his willingness. They would shun the Zacchaeuses, but here comes Jesus, a notable man, somebody that people was looking at, and came up to this place and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He's talking? Nobody talks to me. He's talking to me. He's paying me attention. He's caring about me and all of his popularity and all of his worth and all of that. He comes and says, come down. I'm going to your house. That had to have touched him. There was a Samaritan woman one time at the well. You remember her? And she says, "What are you, you're a Jew talking to a Samaritan?" It didn't take Jesus long to put the influence on her life. You don't think she had some barriers? Outcast. She had 5 husbands, 6 husbands. She was an outcast of society, looked down upon, not one of virtue. And then she was a Samaritan, and Jews and Samaritans had no dealings. But along comes the Lord and speaks word to her that I must have said, she must have been, what? What are you talking to me for? Don't you know? There was another time that the Pharisees said, he don't know what kind of woman. He couldn't be a true prophet. A true prophet would know what kind of woman he's dealing with here. Look at this woman that he's dealing with. And the Lord, he knew what kind of woman he was dealing with. He picked her out. That's the one that was ripe for the influence that the Lord had. He brought that influence of his character, of his nature, of his spirit, and influenced them not by strong arming, not by hard words, not by brutality or force, but by love and compassion and concern and eternal life and the Spirit of Christ. He brought them something that they responded to. And their walls begin to break down. Oh, Zacchaeus broke down real quick, didn't he? He started breaking down. Could you imagine somebody lived like that and when his feet hit the ground, the man was repenting. He said, if I've sold anything from anybody, I'll repay him fourfold. The man started getting serious. The wall started saying, what was Zacchaeus' security? Money? Power to be able to tell people what they owe and be able to exact from them and those things. That was his power, and he let the walls down. Lord, if you do it for me, I'll pay anybody back if I've wronged them. You know why he said that? He knew he did. He didn't just say that, well, I'm not just real sure, but if it ever happened, well, I would. He knew there was a lot of people he was going to pay back. But the Lord's influence in his life. And Jesus comes as one that scales the city walls. And you know what the Lord wants? He wants some rangers. He wants some rangers. He wants some people that stands ready to scale the walls. Somebody that's willing to go in and influence against that confidence that people build up in their lives. That is a false confidence. That confidence will not stand judgment. It's a false confidence, and the Lord wants some people ready to stand in their place and their time, willing to influence. I'm going to tell you, you don't know the influence that you can have. And I'll tell you a little story, and I'll tell you, this touched me. At our neighbor lady that we've known for years, ever since we've lived there, trying to help her out and be right for her and be there for her and those kind of things over the years, I never knew that it mattered a whole lot. I knew she was a thankful person and she was always thankful. But I didn't know just exactly what it meant until we was talking to her one night and she said that she had this acre of property up on the mountain. And I said, "Oh, really?" And yeah. And I said, "Well, Linda and I have been looking for something out that we'd like to have, and you wouldn't be willing to sell that, would you?" And she said, she said, "Well, my heavens, Marty, you can have it if you want it." And I said, "No, I wouldn't take it that way, but if you'd be willing to sell it, I'd like to give you a fair price for it." And then I went on and told her that it would have to be your family all agree to it. They wouldn't, if they didn't want it, and all these things, and I wanted to make it right so there was no problems with it. And it all worked out anyway that she ended up selling me this little acre. Well, come to find out, there was a lot of people wanted that little acre, and there had even been people trying to buy that off of her, and there was even people that came to try to get it off of her before we actually got it. I mean, they tried to get it before I got it, and these kind of things. And I knew that, and I appreciated that she had, she told me that, some people wanted to come and buy it, and they offered more money for it. She said, I told him I didn't want to hear it. I gave my word. I told him I was going to sell it to him. I'm going to sell it to him. And she gave, and I that's honorable. I thought, that's honorable. That's the old school. I appreciated that. Anyway, I was talking to one of the guys just recently that wanted the property. And he told me, said he really, really wanted that property, and he tried to get her to sell it. And he said he mentioned it to her after she sold it to me, and my neighbor told this man, said, "Well, I'm just going to tell you why I sold it to him." He said, "Him and his wife are the best neighbors I've ever had. Said, they have helped me in every need I've had. Said, she brings me food over. They help take care of me. And she said, I just wanted to do something for them." And I was so touched, I never really knew the influence that just going over there and picking a stick up out of her yard, what it meant to her. And it wasn't strong-arming tactic. It's a tactic that we love you and care for you, and anything you need, we'll be there for you. I never really realized that she felt that strongly. She wanted to find something to do for me, to return it back. That comes, see, that's what the Lord really is after. That's why He does it the way He does it. Because what He wants to really do is touch somebody's heart through His goodness and love, that they say of their own will and mind, "I sure would like to do something back for Him. He gave so much for me. He's done so much for me and blessed me so much that I want to do something back." When people begin to realize what the Lord has really done, it will begin to tear down those walls and how insufficient those walls really are to keep them. When they begin to see that, when I believe, when people start looking at us, true saints of God, and I want to emphasize, true saints of God, When they begin to look at our marriages, our families, our functions, our ways, our devotions one to another, what we would give for one another, die for one another, I'm going to tell you, it's winning. It's winning. It's scaling the walls into people's lives. It isn't going in boasting and proud, and even with words of God, it can be wrong. You know what I'm saying. You can go in with this zeal and attitude about you're wrong and you need to be saved. It's not winning. But the wise scale the walls. They get into a position that they can have influence in somebody's life and then they influence in it. Not we proclaim Him. We do not hide out in the darkness. We proclaim Him from the rooftop. But yet there is a subtle way of doing it, as the Scripture says, to be wise as serpents. What do they do? They watch their opportunities. They sneak their the place to where they can do what they need to do. But be harmless as doves. All of our motives are pure then, see. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it. I told Linda, I said, I helped her all those times and I never done it for that property. I never knew she had it. I done it because I cared. What she did in return was bless me back. The wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Our purpose the Lord gives us in this life is to tear down people's worldly confidences, to help them to get to the place that they understand that the confidences that they have in the flesh help tear those things down, help tear the walls down. I want to look at another scripture, from very familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Third verse, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Anytime you make the weapons of your warfare carnal, you've missed the thing altogether. And it can happen so easily that we can get into that struggle in the flesh to overcome somebody in the flesh. And we use the tactics that I honestly believe most people don't ever come to a full understanding that they're using those fleshly tactics. Of subtlety, of attitude, of positioning myself, of getting in a certain place that's nothing but carnal. It's nothing but the flesh involved in it. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't win this war through the carnal methods. Oh, you may win the battles of carnality. I'm not saying it. That's depending on the power and the strength of your character and of how big you are and how fast you can think and whether you can bully somebody else into it. That's all those kind of things. But the weapon of our warfare, of what we're trying to accomplish, is not carnal. It says, though, that it is but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I think that that can apply to ourselves as well to others. But I think for the idea of the message today, it's the idea of pulling down strongholds in people's lives. There's a method to it. There is a method to it. And it's mighty through God. It is powerful to pulling down those strongholds. Listen today, if you have loved ones that you desire to be saved, lift up your head and have courage. Because there is something that's mighty through God. Through the pulling down of strongholds. The influence of Christ in people's lives. Constantly. Forever there. There's the war. There's the battle. There's the influence that we bring to the battle. Always. It's always facing against the flesh. It's facing against the devil. But it can't. Don't fight in the same way. It fights through love and mercy and reaching out and being a mature adult standing in this place. And when you look and you see somebody that's not measured to what you think they ought to be, there's hope. Staying true. in that place. Give an example and an influence for them to come to. Come up to. And then look in your own place where the Lord did that for you. I remember Brother Clifford Wilson preaching at home one time. He told about a man that he saw in a certain thing in his life, and he said he knew for a certainty that the Lord had dealt with that man for 15 years to get him to that place, and lo and behold, he got it. He got it. And then he saw the time that he understood it and he got it. Boy, he got that thing, and he said he wanted it in 15 minutes. Everybody to measure up what it took the Lord 15 years to get to him. I got it, now everybody's got to come to it, and that's the way it is. No, if you got it, praise the Lord, now you can use the influence of it to be able to influence somebody else. And you know what might happen? It might be 15 years. And we're obligated to allow that to happen. Because here's the truth. You can't strong-arm it on somebody any more than you could have strong-armed him. And you can't strong-arm me, and I can't strong-arm you. But the power of the influence, when I see the Spirit of the Lord working in somebody's life, it's not long before I'll say, I want some of what that fellow's got. That is a working. That's a working right there. And I'm impressed by it. And I want it. It's mighty, it says. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now the weapons of warfare are not carnal. But these weapons that we do have are mighty. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God absolutely pays attention to it. When the righteous prays, maybe there isn't thunder and lightning, and maybe the clouds aren't parting, but God's hearing. And God's using that against the day that He's going to do something with it. There'll be the ultimate opportunity. I believe that every person has the right to deny the Lord if they want to. But they'll have the utmost opportunity when the righteous pray. When we put ourselves in there to be faithful witnesses of God, when we put ourselves in there to be examples for the Lord, rangers for the Lord, willing to scale the city, willing to plow and till and clear and cut and plant and wait for the Lord to bring the increase to those things, I believe that the Lord has His ultimate opportunity to deal in a person's life. The influence that people have. I remember when I was a young man, about 16 years old, we played men's league softball. And there was a man on there, he was a religious man, and there were several teams in the county, and of all the teams and all the players, this guy was the biggest troublemaker in the whole county. He started trouble all the time. And I remember the day that he come up to me at the fence. I was 16 years old. I knew little to nothing about God, nor did I really care. And he came up to the fence and he said, "Marty, do you go to church?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you better start." And he turned away and walked off. And I'm going to tell you, I thought right there at the time, it made me mad. And I thought to myself, why? So I can be disliked as much as you are? So I can be a bigger troublemaker as you are? I'm not saying that's a proper response, but it's the response the world's going to have towards you. If you have that kind of thing in your life, there is a legitimate complaint when people look and say, of so-called Christianity, why would I want that? And that's one of the things that you and I have to battle to tear down. It's just the truth. Even closely among us, those that have shown less than a witness than they ought to, for every true one that wants to do it, we have to battle that. It's one of the walls that's put up to say, why should I do that? I don't see anything any better. And you know that's a tough thing sometimes to overcome. But you can. You can.
I was down in Junction City, Kentucky, several years ago. We was having a tent meeting down there, and so they was, best I remember, there was about four of us that had divided up, and it was me and Brother Ivan, Brother Dan, and I believe it was someone else, I don't remember, but we took our invitations to the tent meeting, and we spread out, and we was just going door to door, handing out these invitations and talking to people. It was very interesting. Most people are polite and courteous, and they'll, in a courteous way, say they're not interested or no thank you, or some would take it and probably throw it in the trash, and maybe some read it, some didn't. But that's kind of the way things go. I was going along, and it was an interesting experience. I come up to there was a woman sitting on a porch, and I went up to her and invited her and talked a little bit and was walking away, and I was looking over to another house, and all of a sudden I got this feeling of, and I hadn't had it all day, but I got this feeling of what's this over here? It didn't look like anything in the eye, but I felt like there was something of the Spirit going on. I looked over, and it was like a warning almost to me, what's this? And then the woman behind me, just after I felt the impression, she hollers out and said, I wouldn't go over there if I was you. And after that was very meaningful to me, I said, well, why is that? And said, well, they got a big dog over there. And I said, well, does it run loose? And said, no, they keep it in, you know. And I said, well, see anything of that? So I went on and went over, and I got up to the door. It was just a screen door. The main door was open. And I walked up and went to peck on the door. And just by the time I got there, I heard a rumble. And I looked, and here come this massive Rottweiler. And it hit the door, and the door flew open. And I started backing up, and here's this dog going for my legs. And I mean, it happened so quick that and I every time I'd go down, the dog would kind of back off. So it wasn't just a real aggressive attack, but it was trying to get to my legs. I mean, and I every time I'd go down, it'd back off. And we went through the yard like that. And just before I was about to get up on top of there, they had a nice blazer or something there. Anyway, I was just about to get up on top of it. And I believe I could have done it in a bound. That dog was there, and that woman that owned the dog came running out hollering at the dog and hollering at me. And it was she was really, really excited. And so she was hollering, and I, of course, I was standing there kind of, you know, not knowing exactly what to do, but thankful that she'd come out, stop the attack. And I said, well, thank you. And what did you think you're doing? You never do that to a dog. When a dog comes, you stand still. And I'm like, now, what are you? You out witnessing for the Lord. I wasn't going to argue with her, but standing still wasn't an option to me. And so she was saying, you do this and this. And I said, well, excuse me, we talked a little bit. And I said, well, anyway, the reason I was here, I don't want to hear why you're here. You're out in the other stuff. And I stood there for a little while, and she kind of calmed down more and more. And finally, I was able to say a little bit. And then I said, can I ask you a question? And she said, yeah. I said, we're having a tent meeting. And I said, I am very interested in what I do. And I just would like for you to answer this question for me so I would know better how to do this. Why would someone like you not want to come to a tent meeting like we're having? And she said, well, I'll just tell you. And she started telling me her religious experience with big churches and what they are and what they do. I could not deny a thing she was saying. She had been hurt, and she was wounded, and she didn't really want to have anything to do with it. So at the end of all that, I ended up saying to her, well, I don't know that I'll ever see you again. But I said, I want to tell you something. All of that you told me don't have anything to do whatsoever with the fact that the Lord died for you and that the Lord's here to be personal to you. Nothing. It has nothing to do with it. You can still have it. That's just confused the whole thing. But the Lord is still there. So I said, please, whatever you do, don't confuse the Lord with religion. You know, it really got her. And she said, well, let me have that paper. She said, I'll talk to my husband and we'll see about coming. They did not come. But what I want to say is, we as ambassadors have all of those walls to deal with. And coming up and saying or pretending or acting like all the other nominal religions, you get me right, when people, there has to be in their lives the idea of the personal life of Christ. Do you know that I am convinced that that woman could be saved right there in the middle of all that? She could know Christ for herself and begin to shine the light for Christ right there. Right there. And do you know what would say something else? As an ambassador of Christ. That scene with the dog was all planned of the Lord. The Lord planned that, warned me of it, witnessed it to me, and let me go through it simply so I could say plant a few seeds. I wasn't really in danger, and I went away feeling that way. The Lord has protected me. I got testimony out of what God can do here, and He allowed through this incident for me to plant some seeds. I don't know what God give the increase. But that's all I was able to do. But I feel like I scaled a wall. I'll be honest with you. I feel like I scaled the wall there into a place that shook the confidence. I'm going to tell you the confidence that she had. I'm right there wrong. She saw the wrongs. Her confidence was in the fact that God ain't going to hold her accountable because religion is so foul. And I was able to shake the confidence of it. You're still going to have to know the Lord. And you can. You can know it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, carnally, I'd want to pack a .357 Magnum for the dogs. That's carnal. But that's not God. The Lord used that incident. Well, it would have been very hard to have shot somebody's dog and witnessed to him. But it was very easy. The Lord broke down a barrier. And it meant more to her because of that incident and what happened. It meant more to her. I want to say here today that most relationships that we deal with are not that way. It's not that distant. Most of the relationships we have are close. It's family. It's moms and dads and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. And because of it, it gets terribly tedious at times to know what is and what isn't. But the weapons of our warfare are still not carnal. And they're still mighty. And when we get a good hold of the Lord for ourselves and begin to bring that influence to pass of the life of Christ and have that answer and to be able to say when the water stirred, be able to say a calming word, an inspiration of courage, an inspiration that God's in this, to be able to say, oh, this will be better, to be able to calm things. The Lord has helped me in places you wouldn't hardly understand at times. I know He did. I was saying, we are up home with some of the guys in the community. I guess I'm one of the few that even goes to church of the bunch that plays basketball, and we were up there playing basketball, and one night a couple guys got tangled up and kind of got, you know how guys can get over that kind of stuff, and they kind of got like that, and I'm not an aggressive person. I mean, I don't go around saying something, but I just took the ball and stepped off and said, let's take a few minutes and calm down here. And do you know what? I know of my own spirit that the Lord had and one guy, I'm all right. And the next guy said, no, it's all right. And I said, well, let's just take a few minutes. Said, you know, we don't want to do this. And you know, it just calmed the whole thing. That ain't me did that. But the Lord did that. I really believe that those guys knew that something, they couldn't have said it, but I think they knew something just happened here. We have
the right, the place of God to be able to influence. I believe, Lord help us, to influence our unsaved children, our unsaved neighbors, our unsaved family, the family problems around us, somebody that can have that influence of Christ in the middle of that place. I know the Lord don't give us particularly the power to do this like He did, but remember when He was out on the sea? This was the Lord. This was just the Lord. And it did say that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. And you know, a lot of the miracles that the Lord did, if you wanted to look and say, psychosomatic, for instance, somebody thinks they're sick, or they are, but there's something psychosomatic about it. I mean, there's arguments that way in all this. But there was a miracle that happened that really got their attention. They're out there on a boat. And the sea is rough, and the winds are blowing, and the storm's rough. And they said to the Lord, "You care not that we perish." And the Lord comes up and says, "Peace be still." Now, I'm going to tell you, this one got them. There's nothing psychosomatic about the elements obeying. And when He said, "Peace be still," and the thing went, phew. I imagine that sea was like glass. And they said, "What manner of man is this? That even the elements obey Him." We don't want no glory to be anything, that anything obeys us. But the Lord has given us the power of His Spirit to influence people's lives and to come. Be a calming, steadying effect to our families and our friends, to be one that they can look to say, "Pray for me. My life's in a wreck. Would you..." Peace. Peace. God. God be with you. God, calm. Calm and peace. I've seen the influence of it in my own life. I've seen God say, "Peace be still," to my storms. And I believe the Lord wants you and I to have the kind of influence of His people. And if you want to look into it, you'll find they've had it all the way down through. Did they not? There was an influence that went along in one time so much that the shadow of Peter would heal the people as they walked by. It wasn't Peter. It was the Lord using him as an ambassador. Somebody to break down the walls of people's lives, see. And He did it. Broke it down as they went through. And again, maybe our shadows will never do that. Maybe we'll never be able to tell the rains to stop raining. Nor why would we want to. But I believe the Lord gives us a power of influence, mighty, through God, to the pulling down of people's strongholds in their life, to mellow them, to bring them to the softness that God can work in their lives and bring salvation to them. And I believe with all my heart it's the desire of every saint. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.